China has committed to resolve their disputes peacefully and in accordance with recognized principles of international law.
Washington and Beijing focus on Asia's security issues. It's Thursday, June 22nd. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Check us out online at VOA Asia Facebook. Also ahead, suppression of dissent may be boosting Vietnam's economy. China expands its economic reach. Refugees finding new life in the United States. Plant protein and new aircraft on display. We get started right now with VOA Asia. U.S. and Chinese officials have met in their first diplomatic and security dialogue in Washington since President Donald Trump's summit with his Chinese counterpart Xi Jinping in April. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson and Defense Secretary Jim Mattis met with Chinese State Counselor Yang Jiechi and Chinese Army Chief General Feng Fenghui. It's intended to focus on more security issues instead of the strategic and economic dialogue of the previous Obama administration. Secretary of State Tillerson said the South China Sea remains a top issue of discussion.
We also had a frank exchange of views on the South China Sea. Secretary Mattis and I were clear that the U.S. position remains unchanged. We oppose changes to the status quo of the past through the militarization of outposts in the South China Sea and excessive maritime claims unsupported by international law, and we uphold the freedom of navigation and overflight. With that said, China has committed to resolve their disputes peacefully and in accordance with recognized principles of international law, including the UN Convention on the Law of the Sea.
North Korea's nuclear and missile programs are the top priority for the United States in the region, and Secretary of State Tillerson hoped that China could exert its unique leverage on Pyongyang to fully implement all UN Security Council resolutions.
We both call for complete, verifiable, and irreversible denuclearization of the Korean Peninsula. And we call on the DPRK to halt its illegal nuclear weapons program and its ballistic missile test, as stipulated in the UN Security Council resolutions. We reaffirmed our commitment to implement in full all relevant UN Security Council resolutions. For example, we both agreed that our companies should not do business with any UN-designated North Korean entities in accordance with these resolutions.
Ankit Panda, associate editor of the Asia-Pacific Current Affairs publication The Diplomat, tells VOA's Victor Beatty the untimely death of American student Otto Warmbier, who was medically evacuated from North Korea last week, overshadowed the dialogue, with President Trump's Tuesday tweet suggesting China has tried but failed to rein in Pyongyang.
What I hear, though, is that the White House has been quite taken aback by what happened to Otto Warmbier. Multiple sources have reported that the president himself was seized of the matter and had given special authorization to the special envoy to undertake really any diplomatic means necessary to retrieve him. So I think the fact that he ended up dying, I think, really perhaps signaled to the Trump administration that either China isn't doing enough on North Korea or that China simply is powerless. And contrary to what the president might have thought earlier, that China won't be the key to solving his North Korea problem. But, you know, he has been complimentary of China's cooperation on North Korea in the past, even though we saw reports earlier this spring that Chinese trade with North Korea actually increased. So I'm not sure what he's pointing to as far as Chinese action goes. But I think that, you know, he is looking to set the tone for the discussions.
Well, the acting Assistant Secretary for East Asia and Pacific Affairs, Susan Thornton, said that China needs to exert its unique leverage as North Korea's largest trading partner, including by fully implementing all UN Security Council resolutions. Is China doing everything it can?
No, it's not. And that position that Ms. Thornton laid out has been standard for this administration and the previous administration. China has agreed and signed on to unusually harsh UN Security Council resolutions after the most recent two nuclear tests involving North Korea. But as far as sanctions enforcement goes, a lot of open source data shows that China isn't necessarily doing all it could to stop shipments of various goods in and out of North Korea.
On Monday, the Chinese state-run Global Times opined that it's going to take the U.S. and China together to rein in North Korea, that it's an illusion to think that China can do it on its own.
You know, I would agree partly with that, that I think, you know, the statement that China alone can solve North Korea, I think increasingly appears to be true. And really, it has been building up to this since the December 2013 execution of Jang Song-taek, Kim Jong-un's uncle, who used to be a major go-between between Beijing and Pyongyang under his father's regime, Kim Jong-il. So since then, I think we've seen signs that Beijing's influence over Kim Jong-un's actions has really started to wane.
China's Global Times said Beijing has made the utmost efforts to break the stalemate over North Korea's nuclear program, but in its editorial said by no means will China act as a U.S. ally to pressure Pyongyang. These are among some of the top Asia stories that are trending on VOAnews.com. United States urges China to change calculus on North Korea. U.S.-South Korea summit could expose strains in alliance. India and Afghanistan open air freight corridor to bypass Pakistan. Chinese owners of dual-use properties stuck in asset limbo. Tour guides say they'll scale back trips to North Korea. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and a lot more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia and our VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. Economic analysts say many foreign investors are finding an upside to the suppression of dissent in Vietnam, taking comfort in the expectation of business stability as the country's one-party government moves toward a landmark economic summit later in the year. The New York advocacy group Human Rights Watch says plainclothed authorities beat rights campaigners and bloggers in 36 incidents over the past 2 years, often resulting in serious injuries. Analysts in the country, like Adam McCarty, chief economist with Mekong Economics in Hanoi, say foreign investors and others with businesses in Vietnam will either ignore the suppression or take it as a sign that the government is eliminating possible threats to its promotion of fast-growing economy that depends largely on foreign direct investment.
At the moment, it's almost implicit that the one-party state will continue indefinitely. And if you want to really criticize it in public, you're asking for trouble. Businessmen like that sort of stability. You might object to it ethically, morally, or on democracy grounds, but on business grounds, it's a stable business environment.
McCarty and others say the Southeast Asian Communist government is looking to control dissent ahead of the Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation leadership meetings that it'll host through November. U.S. President Donald Trump and leaders from 20 other countries could attend. McCarty says Vietnam wants to avoid any embarrassment from protests while showing foreign APEC guests it's open-minded and eager.
There's not much to complain about APEC. It'll be a big showcase for Vietnam. The authorities just don't want it being used as a protest scene as well.
But Frederick Burke, partner with the international law firm Baker & McKenzie in Ho Chi Minh City, says Vietnam lets a lot of chatter pass to keep the internet open for the benefit of economic and social development.
There's always a lot of hot politics going on, and people have sped off on the internet, but there just also still seems to be a lot of openness on the Vietnamese internet. You can hang yourself from your own tree, but the point is Facebook, Google, all these things that are closed off in China are open here, and it does help the economy, but as usual, there's always some sensitivities in different sectors about what gets said about who and how.
Vietnam's economy grew more than 6% in 2015 and 2016 to $200 billion, largely from export manufacturing. Foreign direct investment disbursements in industries from furniture to consumer electronics last year reached a record high of $15.8 billion. Our thanks to Ralph Jennings in Taipei for sending us this story. Happening now in Asia, the Philippine military says they have isolated the movement of Islamic militants amid an ongoing battle in the southern Philippine city of Marawi. President Rodrigo Duterte said he would order the carpet bombing of the city to end fighting against Islamic-inspired terrorists, now in its fifth week. Stay up to date online with VOA 60. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad to have you with us today on VOA Asia. China on Wednesday hailed the decision by New York-based MSCI, a provider of equity, fixed income, and hedge fund stock market indices, to include it in its key emerging markets list, describing it as a signal of confidence in the world's second-largest economy. MSCI will include yuan-denominated A shares of more than 200 large-cap Chinese companies with a market capitalization of more than $10 billion. The two-step process will begin in May next year. China has gradually opened its A-share market to foreigners in Shanghai and Shenzhen by linking those markets to Hong Kong. Scott Kennedy of the Washington-based Centers for Strategic and International Studies tells VOA, while symbolic, MSCI's decision is a micro step for China in terms of its economic effect.
The index is only going to include less than 1% of its index is going to be based on Chinese A shares. So it's significant symbolically. It's not financially going to have a big effect for a while.
The decision comes after three failed attempts due to concerns about market volatility, access for foreign investors, as well as the pace of market reforms. Kennedy says the current opportunity comes after Beijing made changes to some of its tight control over Chinese stocks.
So the Chinese certainly wanted to be in the index because it would raise interest in Chinese stock market, attract foreign capital into the market. I think the MSCI had held back because, as everyone who's followed China's economy knows, China's government has intervened massively in the stock market over the past few years as it's gone up and down to try and stem that tide. And so MSCI had withheld this until the Chinese had made some commitments to reduce that intervention and also to limit the number of stocks from China that would be considered to be part of the index. So China had moved some ways towards satisfying the MSCI folks, but not all the way. So they were included to some extent, but not as much as China had originally wanted.
Exchange-traded funds, 401k retirement plans will all have greater access to China's $7 trillion stock market. But Kennedy says the move is not as large as President Xi Jinping might have wanted in trying to advance the yuan as a major global currency.
I think it is a small step in that direction, but it's going to be a long time before Chinese stocks are a significant component of this index or other indices or included in indexes for bonds. We have to remember, China has the world's second largest economy now, in some measures the first largest. And as China's economy goes, so goes the world's economy in many senses. So to have it be included, at least in some minimal respect, to it in financial markets makes some sense. Of course, there's big concerns about China's commitment to economic reform and markets, and we don't want to over reward them for policies which could be, you know, threatening to the global economy either.
Scott Kennedy cautioned that China's leaders remain committed to market intervention and are not likely to move much, barring a financial crisis, extreme outside pressure, or a change in leadership. You're listening to VOA Asia.
The news never stops, so keep current on your mobile device with VOA News. Just go to m.voanews.com/English for instant, up-to-the-minute news and entertainment. Check m.voanews.com/English on your handheld device for news as it happens. Stay connected with a fast-changing world with m.voanews.com/English.
This news alert from VOA Asia. South Korea's military says that a drone found earlier this month on a mountain near the demilitarized zone is confirmed to have been from North Korea. The crashed drone was found equipped with a camera and aerial photographs of a U.S. anti-missile defense system site in southern South Korea. VOA Asia Facebook is your source for news and features daily. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. When refugees arrive in the United States, they get one-time cash assistance to pay for rent, food, and other living expenses. Quickly finding a job before that money runs out can be a daunting task for a refugee in a new country. One Afghan refugee made his way through odd jobs to eventually run a food truck. VOA's Jun So caught up with him in downtown Washington.
Some pickles and pepper and chili.
Business is brisk during lunch hour. Many are repeat customers from nearby offices.
Enjoy, have a good day. Ah, that's you.
Mohammed Mashouk Dalati often strikes up a conversation in fluent English. No big deal for him. He used to be an interpreter for international forces in Afghanistan.
My life and my family's life was very in danger by the bad guys like the Taliban, the Al-Qaeda, and Haqqani network forces. A lot of the interpreters, they got killed. They were kidnapped and then killed in the worst situation. They were beheaded. We're always receiving some message, some threats by the bad guys.
Dolati decided to leave his homeland. He arrived with his wife and two children in the U.S. on special immigrant visas about 4 years ago. The couple has since had a third child. Having devoted 8 years to serving international forces, especially American soldiers, Dolati said he had high expectations.
They gave us the visa to come to America to save our lives and our family lives. But they did not help us a lot, or they did not help us any regarding job opportunities.
He discovered that his language skill and previous work experience were irrelevant to finding a job in the new country.
You don't know where to go or how to even apply for a job. We had to walk, we had to go physically to some places, like restaurants and some other places, to apply for a job, to talk to them verbally and face-to-face. And that took us about 6 months, me and some of my friends, to find the first job.
The first job was in a chicken restaurant, cleaning and prepping food.
I felt really hard at the beginning because I was not accustomed with that kind of job. I was not used with that kind of job. And then I had to work hard, you know, to become a cashier and then, you know, becoming a cook.
Dalati worked at least two jobs at once to support his family. But then he found a food truck in downtown Washington run by an Iranian refugee. They have been working together for 3 years since. The business has been going well and has many loyal customers.
Persian Afghani food, I'm familiar with it, and they do a great job of it. It's delicious. In my experience, refugees are very hardworking and they become patriotic citizens, and they're part of what makes America great.
But Dalati hasn't lost his initial dream.
I'm seriously looking for continuing my education to find a job, to get a job that I have always been looking for, like in the office jobs. But besides that, I would love to continue the food truck business.
For producer Jun So, I'm Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Developing at this hour in Asia, a scientific team at the Sirlingso Lake in southwest China's Tibet Autonomous Region says it's ready to drill into the core of the lake to study climate change. The last Chinese scientific expedition of similar scale was conducted in the 1970s. This time, the expedition will last between 5 and 10 years. You'll find news and interesting stories every day on VOA Asia Facebook. This is VOA Asia. Now on VOA Asia, whether it's for religious, ethical, or health reasons, people who do not eat meat have had vegetarian options with the help of some creativity in the kitchen. As you sit down for your next meal, consider plants may also hold the key to solving the global food problems. That's the mission of a new generation of plant-based foods created with technology's help. These mostly California-based companies are finding shelf space in U.S. grocery stores and beyond. VOA's Elizabeth Lee visited a few of these test kitchens.
This is no ordinary kitchen. Chefs here are using unconventional sources to recreate everyday foods such as eggs.
Playing with ingredients that are totally different in the food system is a lot like walking on the moon. We're doing things that no one's ever done before, so it's challenging.
San Francisco-based Hampton Creek uses robotics to identify plants from around the world to recreate food traditionally made from animal sources, such as mayonnaise.
And we look into the different molecular characteristics, and ultimately we're able to identify relationships between what we see on a molecular level and whether it causes a cake to rise, or it makes a mayo taste good, or whether it binds a cookie together, or makes a nice creamy butter.
It's been really recent advances, both in screening methodologies as well as data science, that actually really makes this possible.
Hampton Creek's products are now widely available in American grocery stores in Mexico and Hong Kong. This beef-looking patty was born in the lab of Los Angeles-based Beyond Meat, where scientists recreated a hamburger patty out of proteins from yellow peas and soy. The scientists are breaking down the building blocks of meat
and then going into the plant kingdom to look for those same elements. They're then rebuilding it, such as using beet, and making a new kind of food that uses plant-based protein.
What we're doing is we're taking plant matter, we're running it through heating, cooling, and pressure, and that's basically stitching together the proteins so they take on the fibrous texture of animal muscle.
Could plants hold the key to solving global food problems?
Whether it's Asia, Africa, India, you're seeing a very strong trend toward increasing animal protein consumption. I don't think as a globe we can afford that.
Food security is an increasingly big issue, particularly because of climate change and some other issues. I think if you expand the number of tools that we can use to feed people really well, you help to mitigate against these risks.
Because of this greater global mission, those who work in this industry say alternative sources of protein is not a fad, but a trend that is here to stay. Elizabeth Lee, VOA News, San Francisco.
In France, this year's Paris Air Show, the largest and longest running of its kind, opened for business Monday, but with none of the exhibitors bringing new and exciting planes. As VOA's George Pudich has discovered, manufacturers are instead boasting with small step improvements aimed to make aircraft safer and more efficient.
It looks like this year's excitement at the biannual Paris Air Show will come mostly from watching amazing stunts by highly skilled pilots. The real news is going to be in details, not so interesting to the general public, but important to business people who are always looking for advancements over the competition, lower costs, and improved safety.
Airplanes are more and more modern. We're witnessing airplanes that are more and more ecological, green planes.
The two largest passenger plane manufacturers and ubiquitous rivals, Boeing and Airbus, brought old and proven models with improvements designed to make them fly more passengers and burn less fuel. Boeing says its B737 MAX 10, about meter and a half longer version of MAX 9, will be the best single-aisle airplane.
The MAX 10 will be the largest and most efficient member of the MAX family, seating up to 230 people. Our customers gain additional capacity with a 5% seat cost and trip cost advantage over our competition.
Boeing says MAX 10 will be ready for production in 2020. Meanwhile, Airbus is showcasing an upgraded version of its jumbo jet, the A380 Plus, with split wingtips called winglets that improve the wing's stability. It also has a larger seating capacity. On the military side, U.S. manufacturer Lockheed Martin will try to persuade potential buyers that its stealth fighter, F-35, is a top-of-the-line fighting machine despite recent problems.
What's fantastic about the incidents in Arizona is every single time the airplane notified the pilot of an issue, the pilot took the appropriate corrective actions and landed the airplane safely.
Drones are expected to attract even more attention than before. And there are inventors hoping to attract investors for their new ideas. The hope of developing a safe and efficient flying car is always present. George Pudich, VOA News, Washington.
And perhaps you and I will get a chance to fly in some of these new aircraft sometime soon. We'll see. We thank you so much for joining us today on VOA Asia. And we'd like to say a special hello to all of our listeners in Tainan, Taiwan, listening on the Voice of Chungrung Star Radio FM 88.3 at Chungrung Christian University in Taiwan. Thanks so much for joining us. Our thanks, too, to Tracy Carter, our director, engineer Jim Harmon, managing editor Diane Gao, Ali Ogden, David Bird as well. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day.